Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchek, and we're here to talk about the Green Bay Packers' 29-22 upset win over the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Day. I think by kickoff, they were 8.5-point underdogs. Eric, what'd you make of this? What was maybe your biggest takeaway from this? What caught your eye?
That's a good question. It was a couple of things. You know, I mean, the first thing is I got to laugh because I don't think anybody picked the Packers to win. I mean, very few, at least people that I know that I've ever talked to in the last week, didn't think the Packers were going to win. So I kind of laugh and chuckle at it a little bit because I still have to pinch myself because it's hard to believe. But the takeaway I got from it was a couple things. Offensively, not only is Jordan Love, I think, silencing some of the Clifford fans that have emerged through the course of the season. Also, I believe that, you know, there's a lot of people talking about, or we're talking about, man, in the middle part of the season, if Love isn't the guy, are they going to draft a quarterback? Well, I think most people have understood that that's not the case. There's no way that they're going to do that in the first round. But anyways, by and large, what you take away from the game was offensive game planning, I think, was stellar. Jordan Love's play was where we're expecting it to be. I think probably a few weeks ago, that at least, you know, Packer fans, if that's where they're at. And then on the defensive side, you know, you're playing with a backup secondary, and I did not expect them to hold up the way they did. And I thought that was, they had a couple of miscues, but I thought that was pretty good.
You know, it's funny. I was wondering about this. And so after we talked this morning, you know, this afternoon, I went back and rewatched the game. And it was impressive, Love's performance. But in person, sitting in the stadium, it was more impressive. I don't think the TV fully gives an indication of how fast he was playing and that he was just throwing darts out there at times. And it really did remind me in some ways of really early Favre and Rodgers when they had their good games. But, you know, the thing that jumped out to me about this was they played this really good game on offense and they didn't have Aaron Jones. 6 weeks ago, they couldn't have beaten anybody without Aaron Jones.
Right. Absolutely not. And that's a testament to this thing. And I caught a lot of flack, or a fair amount of flack, was here's the test. This is the test for a young quarterback is, can we put the offense on your shoulders and can you carry it? When I asked anybody that question, and I think even you said probably not right now.
Oh no. I said, yeah, you asked me that off the air last week. I said, no.
Yeah, but
maybe it was on the air, but either way, I said no.
Yeah. And so what I saw from it was, I mean, this was coming in. This was going to be an awesome test. And he passed. The off ran through him. They gave him the opportunity to say, here, son, if we're going to win the game, it's going to be because of you and your play. And you know what? I thought, wow, unbelievable the way they came out. And they called the play for it. For him, but which suits him better. And I think some of the receivers. And the other part, you know, you mentioned about missing Aaron Jones is, you know, we kind of took up that role as Jaden Reed a little bit, you know, to try to get the ball to attack the perimeter instead of constantly attacking, you know, BC gap all the time because of the current running back situation. So I thought it was a really good performance, both play calling and the game planning and of course the quarterback.
Yeah, and one of the things we talked about when you and I talked on the phone earlier was about another way that they made up for the perimeter loss of Jones was throwing it to Dylan out there instead of handing him the ball to get him out there, because that ain't happening. That's not going to work. You know, three cut, three passes for 30-some yards. You know, if Jones, you know, who knows how long he's going to be out. I guess we're going to – you think we'll see more of this? I mean, well, that was by design, right, to get him the ball on the perimeter like that with those checkdowns?
Well, they – and you know what? They really kind of set it out there, right, because – you know, they put their necks on the line, because if that offensive line wasn't holding up, that check down isn't happening, because they got to keep him in the block. So, yes, and then they, you know, you saw the deeper routes. So that was dragging the defense out, because they have some speed there finally, you know, other than just one or two players. And so that made that gap between the linebackers, you know, or the cornerbacks who were playing cloud. That made that gap even larger, so that he could, you know, think about it. He's 250 pounds coming with a shoulder square. That's not a winning situation for most defensive backs. So, you know, yes, I think that is definitely something that they're probably going to continue to do, especially if they're going to sit in zone, which is going to change things, because they may have to, you know, have a backer dedicated to coming up into the flat, which is tough, because now you're going to open up all kinds of mischief that can happen in the middle part of the field.
So besides not having Jones, they're also missing Musgrave and Wicks. And, you know, Musgrave had become a guy that they were starting to go to the last few weeks, you know, third downs, things like that, you know, the third and shorter. So Tucker Kraft was their tight end. And, you know, they threw that touchdown pass to him down by the goal line. And you had a couple observations about that. Why don't you go through what you saw on that made that play work? Because he got wide open, but it was, you know, there was a reason he got open, and it was because of both design and the way the players executed.
Well, for sure, and that has been probably the crux of the suspension of these young guys, is the execution and the timing of the execution. So it all starts whenever you're running play action passes. You know, you have to have the lines got to step and make it look kind of like a run. But more importantly, the next step, and it's probably important part, because it's the one that influences the end man on the line of scrimmage, or the defensive ends and the linebackers. So it's that mesh point. So if that quarterback is kind of timid with that hand and doesn't keep the ball in the stomach long enough, those defensive ends smell that like a rat, and they come screaming upfield. And he won't be able to get around the corner to make a nice, easy pass. It's going to be a contested pass, probably throw it out of bounds, can't get it done, one of those things. But what happened?
It was actually so the safety came up too, and the safety was the one who, he was right there, nobody blocking him, and he's right there at the line. And you can see him stop and look at Dylan for a moment. And then after Love pulled the ball out, then the safety went after him. Because Kraft was doing an initial block on Hutchinson, so that held him up just enough. But that fake made that safety stop just to give Love just enough time where he could throw the ball comfortably while backing away instead of throwing it, you know, as he was taking a shot in the chest.
Right, and the other part was that, you know, that it enables him to get around to the spot was Hutchinson. So if you watched closely, you look at his head. As soon as that ball goes into the running back's stomach, his eyes are there, and you see him start to turn. He's going to crash. And all of a sudden, and then when Love pulls it out, he's already beat, because he's on the inside. He's got outside the offense, or the tight end's got leverage on him on the outside. So he immediately tries to turn upfield, and that's have the angle, and Love just was able to get around him, throw it over top. But so you have the offensive line, the play action fake with the quarterback, the ball fake there, and Hutchinson actually blocking very soundly there and buying in. Everybody, the whole team, they're buying in. It's a run. And all of a sudden, whoops, here we go. So, you know, really good design, but more importantly, better execution by a bunch of young guys. That was pretty good.
And Heath, you know, I know you didn't get a chance to see any practices, or maybe only one practice in camp, but what Heath did in this game was a lot of what he did in camp, where he showed he was a really strong
receiver going and getting the ball over the middle. He played 11 snaps, caught four passes. I mean, undrafted guy. Is this guy going to be playing for the Packers in 2 or 3 years?
Well, he's already ahead of Touré, it looks like, right? So
yeah. Oh, he's definitely passing up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there's a really good chance. I mean, they got that wide receiver room, you know, and I kind of stuck my foot in my mouth a little bit, but at the beginning part of the year, I kept saying, don't sleep on them. Don't sleep on them. There's a lot of talent there. They're just not refined. It's all raw, you know? So I was hoping by the middle or closer to the middle part of the season, closer to week 8 or 9, that they would start to float up to the top, but it's starting now and you see it. So you got Wicks, who is finding a role. You got this Heath kid that's looking for a role, and Reed and Dobbs. And then of course you throw Watson in for the shiny something to look at. And I tell you what, that's a really sound receiver room right now. I think there's a lot of teams in the league that would be jealous to have that much raw young talent in that room.
I'm just amazed at how different the feel around this team is and about this team from 3 or 4 weeks ago. I mean, you know, I do these chats during the week where fans submit questions, and a lot of them are ready to get rid of everybody. You know, Love's no good. The receivers, the draft is bad. Gutekunst doesn't know what he's doing. LaFleur's a terrible coach. And I mean, I can only assume that all that, much of that has changed now, right? I mean, this plan, you know, Gutekunst's plan to have these guys grow together, I think a lot of people thought it was stupid a month ago. And, you know, now it's looking pretty good.
No, but all the pieces were there. You saw the flashes. You saw, like, with Jordan Love, you saw him – all of a sudden they had a couple of tough losses, and you saw him and was spraying the ball around a little bit, and you saw him take – touch off the ball and started passing it rather than just letting it rip, you know, and then all of a sudden that came back, you know, he started being very confident, you know, firing the ball. You see the arm talent that he really has of being able to throw at different angles, throw on the run, throw across his body, throw with bad body position and still be accurate. You know, I thought he showed a lot of stuff, and he's been showing this now for several. There was a middle part of the season where it was kind of, there was a couple of weeks there where it was kind of shaky, but you saw it in preseason, you saw it early season. Now it's, you know, you can see the confidence growing in that young man, and that all he's got to do is continue on with the growth and work on some of the small things. The big things always take care of himself, like the deep passes. He'll figure that out someday. But if he doesn't, throw crossers all day long because it works. He can hit those in stride, and it looks good.
Yeah, this has been your what you've been saying even during that 4-game losing streak, and I know it's hard for human beings to not be a prisoner of what happened last, and so I think a lot of people probably disagreed with you, but
oh yes, I didn't know anything. I can't believe someone's actually paying me to write this and talk this stuff, but it's just reality. You know, it was pretty ugly for a while there, but the reality is that there's, you know, they got 6 games left. It's bound to be at least one or two stinkers in that six games.
For sure.
They're not going to come out and look like they did last on Thursday, the rest of the way out. It just is impossible. With this much youth, there's going to be boneheaded plays. You still see some boneheaded plays out there. But what you're seeing, I think, is you're seeing a shift in the confidence, and you're seeing a shift in the execution. And that's all you can ask for at this point in the season. This is the year one of the rebuild. This isn't 4 years in or a veteran team that's trying to stay on top. This is a rebuild. And so far it's playing, the sheet music is playing out. You know, you want to see growth and excellence coming on as the season progresses. Next year, you'll be a little bit better. Year three, Katie bar the door. And quite frankly, they're going to be in a better cap position in 25. You just skate through next year. They won't be in as bad cap position, and they can sign guys they want to sign from their own team and maybe sprinkle in a few new faces. You know, 25 is the year. That's the year that everyone's got to circle on their calendar. And I know it's hard to look. You have to think 3 years advance, but that's the truth and that's the reality.
You know, the only thing I'll disagree with you on is, growth and improvement It happens. It can happen really fast in this league. You know, we don't want to get crazy and all that, you know, get over our skis and all that. But I mean, if they continue to play good football, regardless of whether they make the playoffs or not, if the trend just keeps going up, you know, generally speaking, between now and the end of the season, I think they could be a really good team next year, even, you know, and they'll still have cap issues. They'll still have cap issues and all that, but
For sure. What I mean next year is maybe next year they get in as a wild card, or maybe they do win the division next year. What would be, this is going to sound awful, but it's what would be really good for a young team is to lose in the first or second round and have something to have a little bit of fire in their belly for the next year coming in, where you're going to have a ton of cap room. Everybody's on their third and fourth year in their skill positions. That's the year for, you know, to shoot for the moon. So, yeah, can they be good next year? Sure, absolutely. They can be really good next year. But I think there's still a few pieces away before they can be really, really good next year. So what's your definition? My definition is a good team next year being 11-6, 12, 13 wins would be a really good game, would be a great season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think anytime anybody – it's hard to go – you know, only lose one or two games in the NFL. It's pretty rare when teams do it. If they're winning 12 games next season and a real threat to make the championship, you know, not that they have to get there, but a threat, you know, like a legit threat. I mean, I think they qualify as being a really good team because they'd be, you know, one of the most years. I think there's probably six or seven teams that have, you know, generally considered a legit shot at winning the Super Bowl. You know, if you're winning 12 games, you're probably one of those teams.
Yeah, probably. And, you know, but I just feel like I hope maybe I'm wrong. Maybe next year they 13-3, they get to the title game and it's good. I just don't see that. In fact, I think that would make the success come too quick. You almost got to languish in failure and defeat for a while until you can appreciate it and grow together as a real team. You know, you look, and the sad thing is with free agency, you know, teams like that just don't stay together very long. So you have a very tight window because then you got salary, you know, now you got a quarterback you're probably going to have to pay, and, you know, it gets complicated quickly. But, you know, you got a window there 2 or 3 years. And if Jordan Love turns out to be a quarterback that you can win with consistently, you know, then it's worth it.
Yeah. And to be clear, you know, I know what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure what you're saying is this is all dependent on, you know, Love continuing to, you know, get better and to show that he's the guy. I mean, things could still go downhill from here and this could be a one-off. I don't think it is because, you know, the curve has been going up for four games here, better each game better. So that makes me feel like it's, you know, it just doesn't have that fluky feel to it, but so much depends on that. And, you know, the one thing that'll make next year tough is they're probably starting over at running back next year. So they could end up having, you know, their top three backs could be rookies, or two of the, you know, their top two back could be rookies, and maybe Emmanuel Wilson as the third one. So, you know, that's a tough way to make a living too. You know, I was thinking about this flying home today. I was thinking back to 08, and it's really hard to remember a lot about 08. That's Rodgers' first year as starter, same situation that Love is in now, fourth year in the league. But I don't remember Rodgers having a game any better than that season, than what Love played on Sunday. I don't know how well you remember that season, but, you know, Rodgers had a couple of good games, but I don't remember him playing any better than Love did in this one.
Probably not. You know, I'd have to go through it. You know, you got to go through and look at all the numbers, and none of those are on the top of my head that just stick out. I mean, he's on the right path. I mean, if you look at the quarterbacks in the league, he's right up there. You know, he's right in the midst of it. He's not at the bottom. He's not the bottom third. You know, he's in the top half, I believe, or middle two thirds of the league. And you got to feel good about that. Yeah, he's going to continue. They have to continue to grow. This is, you know, just because they wake up in the morning and they get out of bed doesn't mean they're going to win a bunch of games. I mean, it's still going to be a long road.
He's going to have at least one more 2 or 3 interception game. I mean, that's almost inevitable, you know? I mean, it's going to happen.
Right. He's going to, you know, because now he's got a little bit of confidence. So now he might float that one up there a little bit and, you know, take some chances when he'll figure out where his spots are to take chances and where they're not.
Let's switch gears a little bit to the defensive side of the ball. And those safeties, Jonathan Owens and Anthony Johnson Jr., they had a pretty good game. And I posed this question to you when we talked on the phone earlier. You know, Rudy Ford is going to be back. Savage is going to be back soon. They both might be back. I think Savage came off IR last week. I'm thinking he's probably going to play in this, or he's going to be available to play in this next game. And Ford might be too against, you know, the Chiefs in a little over a week. So what do you do with these other two guys, Owens and Johnson, playing pretty solid football? And you've got Ford and Savage, who had been the starters, you know, earlier in the season. What do you do? How do you divvy up playing time? Who's starting that Chiefs game if both those guys are available?
Well, you never lose your job due to injury, at least that's, you know, unless you can't play, you know. So if you're 100%, you're not going to lose your – I mean, that's – every coach is going to be, hey, you got to at least give this guy a look. I think the –
I do lose your job by injury. I mean, it happens, you know.
Yeah, for sure. For sure it happens. But I really feel like isn't that how Don Majkowski lost his job, right?
That's exactly how Don Majkowski lost. That ankle got healthy, and he did not get back on the field.
I feel you got to go with Savage and Ford, unless those guys, if they're not 100%, I think you sprinkle them in, you know, let them, you know, what they do, that guys that come off IR, you know, Aaron Jones or whatever, off an injury, they give them a couple weeks to kind of build in. And I think that's probably what you see, is they'll give these guys the start and then they'll filter in the other two guys just so they're not overworking them and re-injuring stuff. If they feel like these guys are guys that they really want to have on the field. But I, you know, you saw kind of a couple weeks there where Owens looked like a fish out of water, and it, he got, you know, against the Steelers, he got burned pretty good. He was late to the ball. But, man, I tell you, that heads-up play on that touchdown return. And I mean, I guess the part that I really liked was the way he filled in the run game. He came up and hit people. There was that one in the third quarter where he just dropped that guy. And I thought that was pretty good. I looked up. I thought, man, is that Quay Walker? I'm like, oh, that is not Quay Walker. That's a pretty good hit for a D-back. And, you know, I guess the most notable play that Johnson had was it was second and 12, and it was a really important drive that the Packers get off the field there, because Detroit was starting to pick up a little bit of momentum. And it was a crossing pattern across the middle that would have made – if he would have caught it, it would have been 3rd and 9. And Johnson came and just smoked him. And the ball went incomplete. And that's all you can ask for your safety to do. That's his job. And I thought that was pretty darn good for the young man, and should give those guys some confidence for going forward. But I guess the answer to your question, I think you got to play your starters that you have currently and let those guys play themselves out.
My guess is they go Savage and Owen. And I'm not even sure. I've got to go back and look as to whether Owens or Ford was starting at the time that Ford got hurt. I guess it must have been Ford, and that's why, because I don't think it was a special teams play where he got hurt. But, you know, I'm not so sure I wouldn't keep Owens and Johnson out there. You know, you're going against Patrick Mahomes, so that's really tough this next game. But I don't know. They played a pretty good game. They did okay the week before too. I'm not so sure I wouldn't stick with them and maybe work Savage in as the dime guy and Ford as the backup. But my guess is they'll go Owens and Savage. I don't know if you what's your guess is on what they will actually do. But
that's what I guess too. I think it'd be pretty hard to just say keep Savage off the field. I just think that'd be too tough. He hasn't done – I mean, now if he had a couple of picks and, you know, that's a different question. But I think you got to go with Savage. You're paying him. You might as well play him.
Yeah, they are. They're paying him a lot, $7 or $8 million, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Oh, the other guy I wanted to ask you about was Lucas Van Ness. You know, he's a he's been lining up with his hand on the ground the last two games. And I asked him about it after that after the previous game. And he said that the coaches have always given him the option of putting his hand down as an outside linebacker if he wants. And that's how he played at Iowa. And he did it last week, and he said he just felt way more comfortable that when he stands up, he sees so much that he's overthinking, you know, and trying to figure everything out, and it's slowing his play down. And also, as you pointed out, you lose the leverage when you're standing on 2 feet rather than have that hand in the dirt. But what have you seen from him the last 2 weeks, and especially in Thursday's game with his hand on the ground? Do you see a better player? Do you see the same guy? What do you see?
Oh, he's a very powerful young man and plays very strong. And when his hand is on the ground, he's able to utilize all his leverage, and he is tough on the edge. He's a very tough edge player there in the run game. In his past, you know, I think he makes a good pairing with Gary. You know, just you see him still having to utilize, you know, kind of the more elementary stuff, you know, more bull rushes, things like that. And that's kind of his body type anyway. But I think, you know, he still has to continue to grow on working on additional pass rush moves, primarily getting some sort of counter. Because when they start getting, you know, smart to you, this guy's going to rip outside or he's going to bull rush. Well, you know, offensive tackles aren't stupid. Those guys are going to set up and they're going to be prepared for that. So that's why having some sort of counter move off of that rip or off of that bull or be able, you know, because he's not like a super fast, you know, he's not like Gary, who's super explosive. He's going to be more of a technique guy that's going to make things happen. But you like his hustle. And you like the way he attacks the line of scrimmage, especially with his hand on the ground. He is really tough on the edge.
Well, we've talked plenty about that game. There is a big game coming up in just a little over a week with the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, coming to town. Sunday Night Football a week from Sunday. What do you think? You know, the Chiefs are not, you know, they're obviously a really good team, and they're capable with that quarterback. They could put up 40 at any time, and with Kelce, and you know, there's still a lot of talent there, even though they don't have, you know, the fast receiver they traded to Miami. I mean, that's a big chunk of the speed on their offense is gone, but they still have that quarterback. And I'm wondering what do you think? What would you call a successful game for the Packers against the Chiefs?
A one-score game.
The receiver that they traded Miami. I drew a blank there for a minute.
Yeah, I think a one-score game or a goal, you know, a three-point game would be a success for sure. Because the scary part is because they're so young in the secondary and they're, you know, if Alexander's back, it changes things a little bit. Not a whole lot, but it still does. And I think that, you know, I don't know if they're going to be able to slow that down. I mean, I just feel like, you know, a veteran savvy guy like Mahomes is going to be able to pick apart stuff and take small mistakes that other quarterbacks aren't able to capitalize on and capitalize on. You know, he's got, you know, he's just, you know, we've all seen him play. We know what kind of player he is. And, you know, it's going to be a challenge because, you know, you got to stay with those receivers or he's going to throw it to you. And then every once in a while, he likes to scramble out of the pocket and now he's going to, you know, bite you for a first down all the time. So it's going to be a challenge. That secondary and those safeties primarily are really going to have their hands full.
Yeah. And you know what? Spagnuolo, the coordinator, the defense coordinator at Kansas City, he is a big blitzer. On third down, he brings it. So this will really test Love's ability to play fast and make quick reads and get the ball out on third downs.
For sure. And get out of place that they're going to get in trouble in. And so I think that that's going to be a challenge because I don't think there's been a whole lot of that. You know, that's the one thing when you had Aaron Rodgers, he could get you in and out of plays in such a quick fashion. So yeah. And the challenge, that offensive line is going to have a challenge too. And whoever the running back is at that time, that's going to have to, pick up a blitz. It's going to be a heck of a game. But you're right. It's going to be a great challenge for these guys to be able to see how they're going to play against a team that is a go defense, not just a reactionary.
Well, we'll be back in a week and a half to talk about the videotape from that game too. But I think we've run out of time here, Eric. So we'll we'll have to wrap this up. Just wanted to thank everybody for tuning in. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. And then you'll have no Packers game on Sunday, so you can watch other NFL teams and see what other teams look like. But thanks again, everybody, for joining us. You've been listening to the After Further Review podcast. For Eric, I'm Pete. Take care.
Be good.